You know, I told you last Sabbath that there were some property deals pending, and we have now acquired all the property down across the street. And the 50-foot strip of it goes clear across to the next block, clear through to Vernon. All of the corner where the fence is and the camellia gardens, I think most of the camellias are going to be given to the college for the campus. They'll be moved over here, and they're about $50,000 worth. You know, camellia trees cost money. They're very slow growing. They're all 20 or 25 years old. That is the larger ones. He has also about 700 of those, and he also has about 700 smaller ones. That's the kind of plants ready to be set up. But if the landscape architects can show us just how to use them and where they should go, I think nearly all of them will be moved over here. They were not included in the real estate deal. They're excluded. However, he just has practically no place for them. The market is way off, and consequently, they are talking about donating them to college. They can probably make more money doing that than any other way, because they can donate them to the college at the full value and receive credit by a deduction on their income tax. And they can probably save themselves or make more, whichever way you want to look at it, that way than they could by trying to sell them when there apparently is just no market for them. Now, one we acquired is 250 feet each way. It's almost square. So the street runs at a little angle, so on one side it is a little less than that, but almost that, and then a 50-foot lot on the other side of it running clear through to Vernon, which is vacant. And then three houses and lots down on Green Street, and another house and lot on, I can't remember the name of this other street down here just this side of Green.
Camden.
It is not so valuable, and I imagine it would be worth more if the house were torn down, taken away. There's a family living in it, however. Probably one of those cases where they'd be better off living almost anywhere else. However, as I understand it, the house is probably in bad repair because of the way they have taken care of it and have failed to one or the other. Nevertheless, the three properties on Green Street, we feel, may prove to be very valuable. And we got them for just about the price of the lots. And yet, those houses are in fairly good shape, and especially two of them. And we will put some of the college students to work as soon as we take over possession, painting and cleaning them up, and do what repair work we can do without spending very much money except the labor. And that way we believe we can considerably increase the rentals from them, and they will pay for themselves. So it isn't costing us anything to have them. And since we happen to know privately that the new freeway coming across with a new bridge across Colorado Street, across the Arroyo, is going to come right down Green Street, and Green Street will be the main artery in the town from Hollywood and from Glendale, we rather expect the value of that property to go way up. It is commercial zone property, and a large building could be put up on it. It's a good trading point. We probably will not use it as part of the college. However, it was necessary to take it as part of the real estate deal, and it will provide housing next fall for the overflow of the students. We'll put them down there temporarily until additional housing is required on the campus. Now, the vacant spot across here, as soon as the camellia gardens are moved off of it, and the last house and those things that are there now, will become a softball diamond, baseball diamond, you know, for the students next spring. And we're to take possession April 1st, and we can have it sooner if we wish. We can have it by February or March if we wish, and if we can get the camellias moved off of it in time. Now, we have decided that the other property on north of us here, Mr. and Mrs. Manson's property, is not worth as much to us at this time as it seems to be to them. And we don't really need it. As a matter of fact, we have quite an expanse of ground, and now that we branch off across the street, we do not need the Manson property badly enough to pay two or three times what it's worth. And we feel it's coming to us anyway in due time. Surely if God wants us to have it, we will have it. I do believe that if an opportunity opens, that we should grab the opportunity, otherwise God may not open it again. But when it is at a very excess value and considerably well, 50%, more than 50% more, a higher price than we paid for Mayfair, with only half as much ground, not nearly as big a house, we just feel that that's not exactly the opportunity. And so we have definitely passed that up. However, it seems to me that the Mansons have not proceeded since I finally turned it down with any more of their construction work that was in progress. And of course, there is a possibility of some kind of a deal with Mr. Merritt. And I'm to see him Monday morning. And I don't know what will happen. Mr. Merritt would have bought that property over there on Monday afternoon, but we happened to get it a little ahead of Monday afternoon. And then Mr. Merritt called me up and wanted to move some of these old houses down in front of Green Street, in front of our Mayfair property on Terrace Drive, and he even wanted to move some right out here in front of our entrance if we would let him. He has four more old houses, and he doesn't know where to move them now. And apparently he's quite disappointed that we acquired that property. So we know very definitely it would have been filled with old houses if we hadn't gotten it when we did.
The city of Pasadena has outruled him on that now. He can't move any more houses there.
Is that so?
They couldn't even use his property if you got it.
Well, when did you hear that?
And, the other night.
It's a new ruling.
Yes,
you sure of that?
That's why the secretary told me.
I wish they would make it retroactive, make you move this place out. We frankly don't like it too well. He compliments us on keeping our grounds in such beautiful condition. He came over here and he said, Armstrong, he said, your place and mine are the two best kept up places in this neighborhood. I believe that's true. But we would like to see the neighborhood kept beautiful. We're doing our part to try to make it that way, and sometimes it doesn't seem consistent if others compliment us on what we're doing and then try to make it ugly. We'd like to see it kept nice and beautiful and clean. Now, tonight, the feature film will be shown, and I believe that tonight it is the picture showing the history of one of the greatest developments in Canada, the Hudson's Bay Company. And now that will be quite interesting to Mrs. Armstrong and myself, I know, because we have been all through Canada. We have been in many of the Hudson's Bay stores, which are nearly always the largest department store in the cities of Canada, as they are in Winnipeg and in Vancouver and up in over on the island. Yeah, I never can think of a name over there. I always get another name, you know what I mean. Capital of British Columbia. And a number of other places, I think in Calgary and other cities where we have been. And so we've been through so many of those stores and heard so much about Hudson's Bay, it's going to be quite interesting to see the history of how it was established. And I think the picture will be shown at 7 o'clock. Isn't that the time that we will have it shown? 7 o'clock tonight. Now, these pictures are very unusual. We have not had to be disappointed in one so far. Again, I just wish to say that this world has adopted in its religion its own formula and standard for what it considers worldliness. Certain men, and I think rather bigoted and narrow-minded men, at the head of certain church denominations within the past 400 years, have formed a code of their own, which doesn't exactly coincide with God's code. And their code is, don't dance, don't go to theaters, don't drink, don't smoke, don't play cards, don't do this, you know, those don'ts. And those things they make worldliness, and those things they make sin. And then they do the things that God condemns. While some of the things that they condemn put to a right use, God not only allows, but in some cases commands. And so they go exactly contrary to God. Now, worldliness, as I mentioned in the broadcast the other morning, is all that is in this world. And it's all based on the pride of life, the lust of the eye and the flesh. In other words, greed and vanity. And on those principles, a great civilization has been built. That is, great in the sense that it's large. I don't mean great in the sense that it's good. The civilization that includes this world's governments, which are governments by man, not by God, this world's business, its economics and its commerce, this world's society and all that goes with it, including its athletics and its social customs, its entertainments and its amusements, this world's educational institutions and its schools, they're parts of the world, and this world's churches, and they too are in the world and of the world and part of the world.
And so they, which are worldly and in the world, form a separate code of what they construe as being worldly, and which they condemn, but which God doesn't always condemn. And then they approve that which God does condemn. They have turned the word of God and the gospel upside down. We're to come out from among them and to be separate, because they are the world. And they worship the God of this world, which is not the same God we worship at all. They worship they know not whom. They think they're worshiping the Creator, and they're only worshiping the devil. But they don't call him devil, they call him God. They call him Holy Father. They are deceived. Many of them are sincere. They've been brought up in those beliefs. They don't know any better. That's true. They're blind, but they're led by blind leaders. And when the blind lead the blind, they both go right into the ditch. And that's where they're all going. Well, I tell you, brethren, we shouldn't condemn such people. How could they know any different, most of them? Rather, I think we should have charity and tolerance, and we should have a very overwhelming sense of gratitude to God if for some reason He called us, unworthy as we are, and has given us the privilege of knowing His great and wonderful truth. Is it of our own choosing that we are not blinded and following all these things and being deceived like other people? No, I don't think it is. Is it because we are better than they? Most certainly not. Then who are we to sit in judgment or to condemn them? For some reason that perhaps we don't understand and certainly don't deserve, God has seen fit to call us and open our understanding and to give us these precious truths that should just make our hearts leap for joy, that are such a great blessing, and that are intended to bring us happiness because they are the ways to happiness and to peace and to joy. Let's practice those ways. Let's appreciate what God has given us and rejoice and give Him all thanks and gratitude and praise, because He certainly is greatly to be praised for His goodness. I might just again make one mention of the Tuesday night meetings. Dr. Merrill and I are jointly conducting them. I think it will be my turn this time, and some of you are missing something. You should be here. You should have heard Dr. Merrill's lecture and was illustrated slides last Tuesday night. Dr. Merrill is lecturing on nutrition and food and diet and causes of sickness and disease. Now that is a rare privilege to hear a top-ranking practicing physician speak on those subjects, one who has devoted much time to research and to study of that question, which is a subject that has been neglected and not studied by medical science in general. Unfortunately, most of what has been taught along the line of health food and all that sort of thing has been taught by laymen who themselves are not qualified and who have gone into a certain type of fanaticism that I believe the medical fraternity would call rather the name quackery or something of the sort. I know sometimes they go completely overboard into lopsided, unbalanced ideas and all that sort of thing. Now, I don't believe, frankly, that anybody has this matter of food and diet and its relation to our health and to sickness and disease 100% correct. It is a subject that has not been studied by the type of men that are qualified to study such subjects from a truly scientific basis. And I'm quite sure that Dr. Merrill will be the first to say that he doesn't have it 100% correct as God Almighty would see it if we had the revelation from God, which we don't, because that's one of the things that that man can learn for himself if only he would have done. But we have neglected to learn those things. God has given us the equipment and the facilities to make study and research and tests and one thing and another in that field, and to learn those things for ourselves. And God in the Bible reveals only those things which we cannot otherwise find out. That's a good thing to remember. But I think that you will get one of the finest courses, if not the very finest here, that are obtainable anyway. And then the other phase of the lectures on sex understanding and marriage relationships, which are the basis of family happiness. Family life is the basis of all right civilization. And there again, the foundation is the revelation that comes from God. That is the subject that should be approached only from the attitude of God and from the attitude that God gives us in His Word. understanding his purpose. Then we come to a right understanding. And then we come to see why just about 9 out of 10 homes are at least unhappy, if not broken up, and about every third one is broken up in divorce, and most of the rest of them are unhappy because of a lack of understanding on these very subjects. Well, I tell you, between that and the food proposition, wherein wrong diet and food and a lack of the right elements in our food is bringing such sickness and such disease and such impotency and clouded, thick minds instead of keen, clear minds. Oh, I tell you, those are the things that have more to do with our happiness than anything else in the material people. Basically essential. Very vital. Now, you're all welcome to come. The classes are at 7 o'clock on Tuesday night. Now, at Thursday night of this week, at 8 o'clock, is the reception here at the college in honor of the faculty. You most certainly are all cordially invited, and I hope that you will all be here. This is one of the most important college activities of the year. And in this particular reception, while dress is not indicated, I happen to know that most of the girls in the college are coming in their formals, and I think a few of the men are going to wear tuxes. And in other words, it is an occasion when either one is perfectly correct. And you come with just ordinary business or day clothes, or you may come with at least the semi-formal clothes as you please. And there will be more, of course, with informal and with formal clothes, but if any of you would care to wear formal clothes, it would be all right to do so, because some will be doing that. And I think it's a good experience for some of the college students. Now, that will be from 8 o'clock on next Thursday evening. So don't forget, and I hope that you'll all be sure to come.